You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, who always does the most, Ethan Smith. How's everybody doing today on Wednesday, April 7th? If you wanted to know how I was doing, I know you guys can't physically ask me unless you ask me on Twitter at Locked On Pirates, but these last two games were definitely rough. I think these last two games kind of put into fruition that the Pittsburgh Pirates are just not a very good baseball team. They're just not very good. They don't have a ton of pieces right now to really be a good team. And I still think I find the irony in Monday's podcast that I loved how competitive this team was. I expected them to be competitive in this series against Cincinnati. And in that first game, they actually kind of were. I mean, it wasn't the greatest competitive game in the world they could have had, but they were still kind of there. Like, it was like, okay, cool. They're at least in the ball game. And then obviously, like, Tuesday and then today's game happened where they lose 14-1 and 11-4. Four runs today coming from the Eric Gonzalez grand salami. But it's just kind of tough to watch right now. But if there's one thing you want to appreciate right now when you're watching the Pittsburgh Pirates, it has to be Philip Evans. He's kind of been thrust into the role of playing every day now rather than being a utility guy with Key Brian Hayes sidelined with injury. But boy, is Philip Evans possibly making himself a mainstay even at the age of 28. Just looking at his stuff right now from a statistical standpoint, he's had four games of the five, 13 plate appearances, 12 at-bats. So not a big sample size. Nobody's sample size is really that big yet, only five games into the year. But he's 417, 462, 917 slashing right now. So a 417 batting average, 462 on-base percentage, and a 917 slugging. The kid also has two home runs and three RBIs in four games, and has only struck out twice in those 13 plate appearances, which has been a major issue for the Pittsburgh Pirates to start the year. His OPS is also a 1.378. So he's looking really good. And then you could say, okay, maybe this is just a little stint of his and whatever. But keep in mind, Evans came from the New York Mets organization. And in 2017, his debut season, he hit .303 in 19 games and 38 plate appearances. 2020, he only had 23 plate appearances and only had a 143 average. But over his career, I mean, he's a .305 hitter with 119 plate appearances, a .387 on-base percentage, and a .429 slugging batter. It's pretty good for a guy who can also pretty much play anywhere. And I mean, his batting average since he arrived in Pittsburgh in 2020 is a .373. You got to appreciate that when you have it. And the thing is with Philip Evans is we've already heard the Gregory Polanco thing and all that stuff. But at this point, like, you kind of just have to look at it in the fact that this offense is doing absolutely nothing. It's one of the worst offenses in baseball already. And you see what's going on. Evans is just like one of the bright spots right now. He really is. And he leads the team in batting average, technically, even though he doesn't have the amount of at-bats to cement that yet. Reynolds is the leader in batting average, sitting at a firm .300. But Evans leads the team in home runs with two. He basically would have been if Gonzalez didn't have that big grand slam today. But, I mean, you really look at what's going on with this team right now, and total, as a team, they are hitting .196. That is just not good. On base percentage, .288. Not terrible, not great either. But you also have to keep in mind that's including a hit from pitcher JT Brubaker. If you take that away, that 196 number is probably much smaller than it already is. And, okay, here's where you kind of get into a little interesting part of it, is right now, the only people that don't have a hit that have kind of seen some good at-bats so far are Anthony Alford, Michael Perez, and Wilmer Defoe. That's it. Everybody else has a hit. Right now, Reynolds and Moran lead the team with 6. Evans right behind him at 5. And for me, is I'm like, okay, why not cement Evans in the starting lineup now? You said all spring training that everything was going to be competitive this year. No spot was guaranteed for anybody except like Key Brian Hayes and Reynolds and Moran. Now you have the chance to create a competitiveness in the locker room with Phillip Evans, who, okay, if he comes out and you put him in right field as the starter and put Polanco on the bench, if he comes out and he starts slowing down and not looking as good, you throw Polanco back out there. But I really don't think Evans is going to slow down. He's hitting the ball really well. He's seeing the ball really well with only 2 strikeouts. And I mean, you really look at it for him, and I'm happy for him. He deserves it. And could Phillip Evans be playing himself into the role of being the utility guy in a couple years, even around the age of 30, for a Pittsburgh Pirates team that like really is building for the future? Albeit he's 28, but could Phillip Evans be a part of that future? It's very possible. I mean, you never know. And the, I mean, who would, like, the Tigers right now and Ekel Badu, I mean, that kid is killing it. Your mom Mercedes in Chicago, nobody really even knew who that kid was unless you were a White Sox fan before the season started. Like, I mean, there's a lot of guys that just all of a sudden they just start hitting the baseball and start looking good. And Phillip Evans so far to start the year has been one of those guys. And if Key Brian Hayes never gets hurt, you probably don't find out about it. And another tidbit that I always like to throw out there is the Pirates right now, when Hayes plays a full 9-inning game, are indeed 1-0 and 0-5 when he doesn't. So that already shows the impact that Hayes has on this team and this lineup. And it's also been said that he will not likely be coming right back after leaving the IL, as he's just performing normal baseball activities and seeing some progress back in that wrist. But again, you don't even know if Evans would have done this if Hayes doesn't get hurt. Now, like, let's not start like some random thing where is Evans going to start at third and Hayes have to move elsewhere? No. Key Brian Hayes is the third baseman. And another thing I've noticed with Hayes' absence is the errors, which the Pirates are tied for first in Major League Baseball with 7 over 5 games. And some of those plays at third base that I see missed by Wilmer Defoe, Eric Gonzalez, and Phillip Evans, no knock to them as baseball players at all, but I think Hayes makes those plays just because he's that good defensively. But going back to Evans again, I mean, he's just a really good baseball player as of right now for a team that starts 1-5, got outscored 30-8 in this series against the Reds, and could use an offensive spark. Evans is given that spark. They get shut out that game on Tuesday if he doesn't hit the home run. Just like they get shut out today if Eric Gonzalez doesn't hit the grand slam. Sometimes that's a confidence booster. You hit a grand slam in the top of the ninth of an 11-0 ball game, and then you go home tomorrow on Thursday against Chicago. You never know. That might be a confidence boost for this team. It really could be. And I really think Phillip Evans is a part of that. If you had to tell me or had to ask me right now who are the best 3 players in this Pirates lineup, it's probably Colin Moran, Brian Reynolds, and Phillip Evans, based on how things are looking right now. Like, Kevin Newman was the talk of the spring with his stellar spring. But what has he really done? Not a lot. He's hitting 182. Adam Frazier's hitting 167. Albeit, again, it's the beginning of the year, so I think those guys will definitely be up there and leaders as a batting average for this Pittsburgh team. But right now, as things are considered and how things look, Phillip Evans is a top 3 player, and when Hayes comes back, a top 4 player in this lineup, hitting-wise. And you have to prioritize that, and I think he's built for it. Just like you should check out Built Bar. The protein bars that are taste just like candy bars are 100% chocolate covered, high in protein and high in fiber. Make sure you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order, meaning you could already be an existing customer of the best protein bars on the market and still get 15% off of your next order when you use code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com, and we will be right back. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. You know that you tune into this podcast every day to listen to the Pittsburgh Pirates and everything I have to offer about them, but do you need to know about all the other things going on in sports right now as well? Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts like myself. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And what needs improvement in this Pirates team? Where do you want me to start? That's the better question. But I think the best starting point on where the team needs improvement is obviously in the starting pitching staff. Just keep in mind, and this is from Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as he tweeted this out today, the Pirates starting pitchers this season in six starts, so in the first six games of the season, have pitched 23 innings over six starts. 19 earned runs, which equates to a 7.43 ERA, 18 walks, and 5 home runs. So it's very apparent that the Pittsburgh Pirates starting pitchers are just not going to be good this year unless they really turn it around, and that spells trouble. Because when you have a bullpen that has looked pretty good, you really have to put them out there with a lead. You saw what happened when they got the lead in Chicago on opening day and their only win. That bullpen came in and just fired away. You even had the lead for a minute in the Cincinnati series in the first game, but then you went out and allowed more runs from your starting pitchers. Your pitchers can, I understand it's coming off of a 2020 where 60 games were played and all these starting pitchers are not going to be going six or seven innings every night, but at least give us five good innings. Like, you're pitching 23 innings and six starts. Like, that's not very good in any right. Like, 23, if we do the math, 23 divided by six means they pitch an average of 3.8 innings. So, 4 innings. Which is fine, but at least in those 4 innings, be productive. Don't walk 18 batters in six starts. Don't allow 19 runs. Home runs is whatever. That's going to happen. But like 19 earned runs is absurd. And you really have to look at it again. And we all knew Gerrit Cole's been long gone. Jameson Taillon and Joe Musgrove departed after last year in the offseason. This pitching staff was doomed to not be good. But it's also like, just don't be abysmally bad. Because it's hard when you don't have the offense, which that's another improvement is the Pirates' offense. They just need to find some way to get the bats going, and hopefully going to PNC tomorrow will do that. But it's, you can't rely on an offense that's just not very good to put you in a situation where you're going on the mound with a lead. Also, just hit the strike zone. Chad Kuhl just could not hit the strike zone today. And I think that's something that I said about Mitch Keller, but it needs to be said about everybody. Just hit the strike zone. So far, the best start I think we saw all year was actually in a loss, and that was the Tyler Anderson start in Chicago. 22 swings and misses. He starts tomorrow against the Cubs again. Do I think he replicates it? It's very possible he does. It's very possible he doesn't. All I'm asking for is 4 good innings out of a starting pitcher. Just 4 really good, strong innings. Then put the ball in Luis Oviedo's hands for an inning or two. Let him go to work. Put the ball in Dwayne Underwood's hands. Put it in Kyle Kirk's hands. Put it in David Bednar's hands. Put it in Richard Rodriguez's hands. You got to do something. Like, you have to just stay competitive in these ball games, but it all starts with starting pitching. And I said this, and I would be very willing to put money on it. I do not think the Pirates get more than 5 quality starts from their starting pitchers this year. I don't. I really do not think they get more than 5. So if I'm a betting man or you're a betting person and somewhere on there they're saying quality starts from a team and the number is anywhere higher than five, I'm taking the under. I just do not think this starting pitching staff is capable of five quality starts over 162 games from what I've seen in the first six. And yeah, that might be a little drastic, but like, I mean, is it really out of the realm of possibility? You tell me. Going to hitters now, we already knew this team wasn't going to be hitting home runs like crazy. How many 20 home run hitters are on this team? Two? Three? Ke'Bryan Hayes could definitely be one, even with the missed time. Colin Moran is definitely one. Maybe Brian Reynolds. He has the power to do it. Maybe Phillip Evans, if he gets the chance. So maybe three or four. I don't think Polanco is going to do it this year. I think he's going to hit in the 15 or 16 range and fully cement himself as one of the biggest busts of this era for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Anthony Alford and Dustin Fowler aren't doing it. Newman and Frazier just don't do it like that. Stallings isn't going to do it. So, I mean, you're not going to get generate enough power, which is why I wish the Pirates would make decisions based on, okay, well, if we're not going to be a power-hitting team, let's at least hit singles and doubles instead of swinging for the fences trying to get back in 11-0 ball games. I mean, the reason you got a grand slam from Eric Gonzalez today, which I applauded because they finally put runners in scoring position and actually capitalized, is you have to play small ball. Small ball wins games. Yeah, you had the Hayes home run in the opener against Chicago, which won the game, but the way they scored all their other runs was very different. It was really different. And sorry for that long pause, but it's just I have to like think some more about what other improvements this team needs. You got to shut down the errors. One thing you heard Bob Walk say all spring training was this team looked better defensively, yet they're tied for first in errors right now at seven. When you're already not the greatest team in the world, you can't be committing self-inflicted problems. Limit the errors. There's a lot of things that I've said already. And obviously they're not easy fixes because I'm not the manager of the team. I don't understand baseball as well as most managers or all managers in Major League Baseball do. I'm not Derek Shelton. I don't see these guys every day. I'm not an athletic trainer. I don't know what kind of training they do. And even if I did know what training they do, it's usually just limited to, oh, he's being specialized in hitting. Yeah, I used to play baseball, but I can't teach a Major League Baseball player how to do better defensively or offensively. I also can't, apparently, I don't know if anybody can show any of these pitchers how to hit the strike zone. Like, that would be, like, really nice. But it's also, you just have to look into it as, yes, this team was never destined to be, like, a contender or a, like, mid-500 team. I said the max amount of wins this team would probably get was 72. I've said that numerous times. I said 70 to 72 would be a winning season for this Pirates team. Right now, they're not on pace for that, but it's six games. Go into PNC Park tomorrow. Let Tyler Anderson work. Hopefully, he does good in his start. And you get off to a W and get it back in the win column. It's the easiest way to do this. Find a way to win. Find a way to be consistent. And get some confidence back in that locker room. And as far as I'm concerned, they can do that. Any team is capable of doing it. And I bet that they will eventually. I'm not sure if it'll be tomorrow, but I bet they will eventually. And if you're a betting person like myself, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKED15 for your 50% welcome bonus. And when I come back, I will be previewing the Thursday matchup, the home opener at PNC Park, which will welcome back a sold-out crowd at limited capacity for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I'll be right back. All right, everybody, and welcome back to the final segment of today's episode on Locked On Pirates. If you're the fantasy baseball type, be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe if you have Philip Evans in your lineup for some reason, he might be helping you out right now in a lot of different ways. But away from Philip Evans, right now as I'm recording, the Chicago Cubs are trailing the Milwaukee Brewers 1-0 in the top of the eighth inning. And that's who the Pirates will open in PNC Park against tomorrow. They will either be 4-2 or 3-3. And they will be facing the beloved Jake Arrieta in Piratesville once again, as he started in that first game on Saturday, I believe, against the Pirates. And I believe it was also against the Pirates pitcher for tomorrow, Tyler Anderson. Arrieta in that game, 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 5 Ks, 1 base on balls. Got the W in that game. Anderson in that same game, 7 Ks, 5 hits. A 5.4 ERA over 5 innings pitched. Gave up that one home run, had 2 walks, but also on that day had the most swing and misses in all of baseball. That has likely changed now. But it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, like, the Cubs obviously took a couple from the Pittsburgh Pirates on opening weekend, winning the following 2 games after losing on opening day. And you look at who's leading in stats for the Cubs right now. Jason Hayward leads the team in home runs. So he's been kind of an interesting little thing going on right now. You move into other things. Javi Baez, 1 home run, 3 RBIs with a 167 average. Right now, Chris Bryant has the best batting average on the Cubs at 250. So they're not hitting the baseball entirely well right now. And if we look at what the Cubs have been doing since that Pirates series, they won the opener against the Brewers 5-3. They lost 4-0 the following game. And I believe in that 4-0 loss, they did only have 1 hit. And then I also found out that the Cubs, I believe, in this game against the Brewers didn't get their first hit until the 7th inning. And it's the bottom of the 8th right now, and it looks like there's no outs. And they're trying to get back in the game. They're down 1-0. If the Brewers win, they would be both 3-3, but I have no idea. And I know Contreras got a little annoyed after he got hit by a pitch yesterday and a bunch of other stuff. But I mean, going back to the Pirates and how they could beat the Cubs, do what you did on opening day. Make sure Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, Contreras, and Bryant don't take over that game. Get another decent start from Tyler Anderson. If he can go 5 innings, that'd be really nice. And if you can do that, I think you're locked in for a very good ball game. And they always play the Cubs tough. I think they're going to play the Cubs tough, especially being at home with some home cooking. And I expect big things out of Philip Evans again. Ride the hot hand. Ride Philip Evans. Brian Reynolds, I think, is going to have a very good series as well. But it's going to just, time will tell. Time's going to be, we'll tell how this goes. I will be on the Locker Room app tomorrow, probably either pregame or postgame or both, like I was on opening day. If you guys want to join me on the Locker Room app, I am there at Locked On Pirates, as well on Twitter at Locked On Pirates, or my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan. I love doing these podcasts for everyone listening. I appreciate you all so much as we watch this interesting Pittsburgh Pirates team begin their season 1-5. And I'll leave you with a fun little note. The 2013 Pittsburgh Pirates, the team that last won a postseason game for the Pittsburgh, or a postseason series technically with a wild card for the Pittsburgh Pirates, also started 1-5. So I will leave you on your Wednesday afternoon or evening with that, as the Pittsburgh Pirates take on the Chicago Cubs tomorrow in PNC Park for the home opener. If you are going and listening, please be safe. Adhere to the guidelines and enjoy the view. I hope everyone has a great rest of their Wednesday. If you're listening on Thursday morning, I hope you're having a good start to your day, and thank you so much.